Hi, this is Christian Buckley. I'm the Managing Director Americas for GT Consult.
And I'm Craig Todd, the CEO of GT Consult.
And this is Module 5 of SharePoint Online Migration Planning. And we're going to dive into some additional planning factors.
More planning?
More planning.
We seem to be doing a lot of it.
There needs to be a plan for a plan. That's a whole different session where we'll go through that. What I'm going to wear, how Craig does his hair, all of those things will be covered within that session. Now, this module, we're going to walk through some specifically around hybrid. And there's some other common questions around around cloud planning. And I mentioned in the last, and I think in module 4, I was talking about that there are considerations for the cloud that are not necessarily Office 365 SharePoint Online considerations, but just broader cloud strategy things to think about. But we're going to get into that. So broader cloud theories, hybrid scenarios, and talk about those things. SharePoint Online considerations. So some of the considerations, the size, the geographical distribution of your team, it can affect adoption.
Well, not only just adoption. There's a lot to consider here. You could have different Active Directories, as an example, a farm of different Active Directories. Now, single sign-on suddenly becomes a problem in terms of that adoption and using your system, just from the simple accessibility of the system.
And depending on the geography, so if you have a team in Germany, for example, they may not be able to play in some of the cloud functionality that you've deployed or on the system at all. They may have to adhere to the older system while I think the maturity of the overall platform is raised.
That really speaks to that point of regulatory compliance and governance. Depending on what country you're in, what the legal requirements are, could be completely different in terms of your...
And that's why it's so important that you understand what is the breakdown of the workloads we're trying to achieve, how those workloads sit across the organizations geographically, to know that if we're trying to handle email globally from the cloud versus collaboration, where some of the more sensitive documentation that is really of issue are being handled, that's something to consider. Like, you may be able to be global on some workloads while not others. And then, of course, some of the service level agreements which may be in place. Depending on how you're using SharePoint Online and Office 365, you may have service level agreements with your end user customers, so the people within your organization, and you may be limited. Maybe you need to have a 60-minute, a one-hour turnaround time on escalation of issues. And you have to think about, as we talked about in previous modules, the fact that you're now going through with SharePoint Online through Microsoft's SLAs for support of those things. And your SLAs must reflect the things that you no longer own as you did in on-prem. And if you're in hybrid, depending on where it's impacted, the assets that are on-prem versus the cloud, what happens to those SLAs, and how do you handle those things?
And it's closely tied into the performance of the application that you're building out. So if you have high levels of performance required, maybe it's better to keep that information in the hybrid. But quite important in all of this is your return on investment. And I think understanding that return on investment, not only from the cost of the solution itself, but what about all the surrounding costs? What about the management that takes part of running that farm for you? What happens to that staff? Do you reprovision them somewhere else, or do you cut back on your IT budget? And how does that affect your return on investment?
And I add a wrinkle to that. It's not just about what's the cost of the cloud versus on-prem, but in a hybrid environment, you're running two systems. So because the way that you manage, the way that you're monitoring, the way that you're administrating is different between those environments. If you have a hybrid environment, you're now doing that on two different systems. Just be aware of that, not trying to scare people away from doing that. Just certain realities of organizations that are making that transition to the cloud, you have to also look at your non-technology processes and requirements and see how those things are impacted so you're better prepared for that change.
And in terms of this, underpinning everything is, are you using that hybrid environment just as a transition into the cloud, or are you actually going to persist that environment going forward? And what you should do in each environment in terms of where you should put all of the processing power and how you're going to change up those servers internally at any point.
Yeah, Craig, that's why it's so important to have that strategy up front, to have these discussions, to say, long-term, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to do for the business? And then what does this transition look like? Because you're right, there are impacts, management overhead, and you need to plan for those things, mitigate for those risks. And I put, you said kind of at the core of that, I mean, the foundation of all of this stuff is actually focusing on the end user experience. When we talk about migration planning, I mean, we're largely talking about moving the bits, standing up the new infrastructure, whether on-prem or in the cloud, moving data across. But the focus of the conversation should always be around the end user experience. Because as I've said before, if your end users are not playing, it doesn't matter how hard you work on the solution.
I've got a shiny new cloud. Doesn't work for the users. Yeah.
You could have the most perfectly deployed platform in the world, and if end users aren't there, then you've failed. So you need to think about that end user experience and how what the end users are doing day to day ties back and drives that value to the business. And I don't feel like we're overstating this. It's so critical in your planning to think about it, not as a technology move, but as a business system that you're moving.
So some of those things to consider, we're rehashing a lot of what we've discussed throughout and have been themes throughout this the series, but be clear on understanding those system constraints. So what needs to be in on-prem and what needs to be in the cloud, but also understanding your key user,
your use cases. Yep.
Understanding exactly why you're doing what you're doing.
And prioritizing those things.
Yep. Is
because some are going to have higher business value than others. And so sometimes you have to make a choice. It's great to think about, hey, we have all the resources, we have all the time and the money to do it a certain way. When the reality is that no one is going to stop using the old system until you've moved to the new. It's going to be happening live in real time. And so you're going to have to go make decisions about what you move and how you move those workloads and teams and people.
But as with everything in business, I think you need a strategy, you need a roadmap, and you need to review that on a regular basis and understand where you're doing things well, where you're not, what can be better automated, better optimized.
Yep. It really comes down to that. Optimated. I think hashtag optimated. it's part of that operational excellence of any enterprise deployment of any system is that once it's up and running, once you decide your strategy, even if the hybrid is the destination, at least temporarily, once you get to that place, is then that having that governance process, that change management model in place, and constantly going back and looking at reviewing what worked, what didn't work, what else can we do, how can we improve, and how, and importantly, as we've stated, make sure that the end user expectations are being met.
So I think as we're saying with hybrid, really with any business strategy, failure to plan is planning to fail.
Yep. So let's go through some of the considerations here. And I know that we'll have a little back and forth around this. There's a great article that made these points out there on SharePointNutsAndBolts.com. Highly recommend. But going through some of the hybrid considerations. So testing, as you've said over and over again, essential to this. Test the waters. As you're going and prioritizing which workloads to move across, which organizations and their site collections to move across, test that out because you're going to uncover problems each time you do those tests, which are going to strengthen your ability to successfully migrate the future site collections and teams.
Yeah, do a proof of concept, whatever you need to do just to make sure that you're moving forward the way that you need to.
Yep. Size and geographical distribution of an org can affect adoption. Adoption is just, it's a whole other topic around that. It's one thing to have the technology up and running, another thing to get people to actually use it ongoing. But the success of your migration and whether you are looking at the business value and the end user success is going to affect your ability to get adoption high.
And once again, planning for the measures within that success. So if you don't plan for those measures, you won't have any way to actually determine whether your implementation has been successful or not.
I always like to start out the third bullet here, regulatory compliance and governance requirements. You need to understand what your system constraints are going in. So again, you can have the coolest new platform with all the whiz-bang features that are in the system. But if you're missing key regulatory industry-related requirements, compliance requirements, I mean, it's just a full stop. you could be in legal trouble around that. So be aware of what those constraints are upfront as part of your planning. I know you don't like the next bullet. So I was talking about external collaboration may require on-prem farms. I think the point here is that you just need to be realistic that not everything is going to fit the cloud model. Some external collaborations could also require some of the customizations that you built on-prem and may require that. So we've talked about Extranet. Office 365 is a fantastic extranet solution. However, for some of those specialized needs, depending on the level of customization there and what you're doing with that partner or customer, there may be a need to build out that extranet solution for this subset of users and remain, at least for now, partly on-prem.
Whilst understanding that moving to Office 365 and SharePoint Online is obviously going to make it a lot easier for external vendors and customers to move onto your site.
And we've talked a lot about the service level agreements and the fact that Microsoft owns the SLAs at the farm level. So just be aware to how that impacts what you're trying to accomplish and how you serve your end users, your internal customers. Then there's also features, enables customers to use preferred features from SharePoint 2013 on-prem. I mean, if you have a hybrid environment, you can stay with those customizations that you've built out. The things which have made adoption, so strong within your organization, keep that in place, yet still go and where it makes sense to use the online assets. I think we've made the ROI statement.
Yeah, very much so. And also the moving as your hybrid for a transitional environment. So let's rather look at something like the factors in your cloud planning.
And this is, I don't want to spend much time on this list. Actually, the slide after that is more important. But I think this is where I made the earlier comment about that it's not just about Office 365 as the cloud, but your overall cloud strategy, just things that you need to think about. They certainly pertain to Office 365. But these are all factors that you think of with any enterprise system. You want to go in and have question and answers around each of these different areas. And this is what it looks like, is you're looking at on-prem versus cloud versus hybrid. We are talking about location, the facilities that you need to manage. Obviously, you need space, you need maintenance, the personnel, the skill set around that to manage that on yourself. Whereas in the cloud, it is most likely all provided, hardware and software around that, so you don't need the location. With hybrid, you need to think about what assets remain in both locations, what are those costs? So you could actually expand your costs where maybe your changes on-prem don't, your costs don't change much on-prem, but suddenly now you're adding the additional cloud costs. Your software license and support. Of course, with cloud, it's baked into the solution generally with a SaaS option like Office 365. It's all included there. If you're in hybrid, you're going to be paying for both of those things.
And paying for the upgrades every time you need to.
Correct. And managing that and the personnel to be able to maintain those, the skill sets. Hardware maintenance falls in that same category. Your on-site support and the personnel. So you can kind of see this pattern. Here's what it is on-prem. Here's what it is in cloud. Hybrid is you're going to look at where you can reduce, but essentially maintaining two different systems. So the next slide goes into expands on that even more. The level of customization.
So there, I mean, that's an important one. We deal with that on a daily basis. If you're moving into the cloud, there are a lot of those limitations based around the APIs and the like. That means that you cannot actually build managed code on top of a solution. And if you look at things like branding, well, Microsoft says don't brand your Office 365 implementation. So a lot of thought has to go into that level of customization and how much you want to have it changed for your requirement.
And I think honestly, I mean, I spend a lot of time talking about governance, security, auditing, compliance, those types of things. Kind of known in that space.
Funny with your history and control point.
Yes. Honestly, I think that we're getting to parity in a lot of the capability. Microsoft is striving, towards, matching the capabilities in the cloud versus on-prem. But you get very messy over in a hybrid world. So it's not just a matter of, hey, I'm using these tools on-prem and I want to use the same tools online. Not likely. They work very differently because of all of the limitations that we've discussed in previous modules about just the limited APIs that are available, PowerShell capabilities limited compared to on-prem. So you just need to think about this. if your business requirements are that certain audits run and be automated, dashboards rolling up in an automated fashion to your management team, to your executive team, you just need to think about what can be automated, what do we need to do manually. It could actually add additional work maintaining a hybrid environment.
And that complexity extends to the disaster recovery and business continuity. Obviously, now that you're running two environments, it's suddenly a whole lot more to manage than just your cloud or your on-prem. And in cloud, most of it's actually managed for you. Now you've got to look at the two interacting with each other.
And when they're off, when they're not in sync, and that's another side of this, the upgrades and migration. When you have end users that are getting all the latest capabilities that are out in the cloud, and those that are on-prem might be 2-3 years behind them, what is that experience going to look like? And thinking about, again, what the end user adoption and engagement level will be across your entire platform. So some of the common questions, just wanted to hit really quick. So what are the cloud services that I should pursue? And this is part of that prioritization of what are the workloads that you have today, what is mature, and what is what can you move first and easily and approach it from that standpoint. It's one strategy. Hosted Exchange is a great example. I think the number one workload that's moved first into Office 365 is Exchange.
And one of the most popular workloads as well.
Yes.
The next thing is, should I consider cloud only or combination of cloud and on-prem? Well, that comes down to, once again, the functionality required. But really, are companies going to move straight into the cloud? Unless they're smaller companies. Enterprises, very unlikely that they're going to move straight into that.
In one shot. Over time, it might be their strategy, but in one shot, it's just not likely. And even, I would say, for a small organization that has built out some complexity in SharePoint, again, it may not just be as simple as, hey, we're going to move 100% over. That's where you have to go and do that inventory and look at what have we built out, what makes sense to move over.
Yeah. Then what kind of partner should I use? Well, that's very easy for me and Christian to
GT answer. Consult, of course. No. Yeah, though, just like any other vendor selection process, I mean, you go in and look at what their capabilities are and their history, how long they've been in business, what their expertise in. And I have a background in portfolio management, project management solutions. And you don't go looking for a portfolio management solution that's specialized from somebody that just has been in the last 2 years hosting SharePoint. No, you want to go to somebody that lives and breathes project management capability because it is a highly customizable, very complex platform, if you're talking about Project Server, for example. And you want to go to somebody that has expertise in that area. And you need to approach your cloud vendors very much the same way.
And I think you have to ask the questions around cloud. Well, what have you done in cloud? And secondly, what kind of customizations do you normally do? And how transportable are those into a cloud environment? And you'll soon be able to pick out the right vendor for your choice.
Right. So whether you're looking at your broader cloud strategy or specifically looking at a hybrid scenario for your migration, some of the best practices that you should consider. I always like this word, this term, looking at your systems holistically. It's the end-to-end business view of your platform. Not looking at it as a technical activity, but thinking about your end users, thinking about your business process alignment and the value. This is the conversation that you have with the CEO at the end of the day. For us, it's just a email. Hey, Brad, what's up? To say like, here's what we went to accomplish. Here's what the data and metrics look like. We've successfully moved over into that. Here's what it's actually doing, driving for the business. And then going through as part of your inventory, part of your documentation, clarifying, documenting things like your permissions, your information architecture, which is so critical, all of your templates, your content types, all of those things, and ownership of each, and looking at how can you simplify and consolidate, where do you need to break it apart and redesign, and then deploy, and if you're in a hybrid environment, if you have a complex information architecture, how are you maintaining between the two? How consistent are you trying to keep them? It could be a lot of work to try and balance between those two environments until you're entirely over in the cloud.
And a lot of work to move information that's redundant that you really don't need on your farm anymore.
So governance, of course, is a huge, huge priority.
Yep.
Every customer that we work with, the topic comes up.
looking at your permission structures, looking at how the information is passed off to different parties. And here, if we're pushing out to multiple parties, including extranets, well, then it becomes really important as to how you're looking after that data, how it's being audited, what version control is in place.
It really comes down to, I think the last bullet here is pretty simple, but is understanding the constraints of your system. That's what it comes down to. You understand, you know, what are our requirements of what the customer's trying to do, but you know, what are we going to be sued if we don't do? So what are the legal requirements, the compliance, auditing, security, all of those things? Need to make sure those things are being met, especially as you're balancing a hybrid environment, you know, going forward. So there are, Microsoft has a number of options that are out there. I just wanted to point people towards some of the deployment center that's out there. There's of course the Office Success site as well, which is very popular, which, you know, all these sites have a lot of partner and customer evidence that you can go and look at that are specific to industry, to specific verticals, that provide templates and guidance to how to plan around your migration strategy. Great resources that you could take a look at. And just like we shared in module one, with Microsoft's, their deployment methodology as they were moving internally to the cloud, you have those resources which are part of that success program, those templates and guidance and worksheets that you can use as part of your planning activities.
And most of the vendors that you're going to use have probably looked at that site and actually taken most of those templates themselves.
I would hope that they would. And finally, just because I like to add a whole lot of links for those that are interested in this, further reading, some great articles, some white papers, various content that's out there. Definitely want to go take a look at these when you have time if you're starting to try to understand how do we plan for this. There's a lot of great content that's out there. Here's just some of the resources that I'd like to point you to that you could take a look at, that sound advice, some great tools and suggestions that are out there to help mitigate your planning risks.
Okay, so to summarize, really, migration is not just about moving the content. There's a whole lot of planning that needs to be taking place.
It's not a simple upgrade. It's not just like, single server, the Insight in-place upgrade was ever a recommended process for migration or upgrade. You know, Microsoft has a lot of resources that you definitely need to go take a look at. And of course, reach out to members of the community. There, as I mentioned, in the Yammer.com, the Office 365 network. So if you go to Yammer.com, IT Pro Network, and join that site, there are groups that are dedicated to migration discussions. And it's a fantastic resource that has both ISVs, consulting companies like GT Consult participate, as well as customers that have gone through the experience and are sharing kind of their best practices. So definitely you want to take a look at that. And other than that, thank you for participating, from myself, from Craig. Thanks for participating in this session on SharePoint Online Migration Planning. And you hope you found it useful. And if you have any questions, of course, you've got our contact details. Reach out to us. And thanks a lot for watching.
Thank you.